Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
And greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and affectionately known in some parts as America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I don't think Bob uses that tagline anymore, but I always kind of liked it. I'm Doug McBurney. I want to thank Bob for allowing me to sit in his chair today here in the KGov bunker, tucked away in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. I do want to announce today, as you may already know, today is the National Day of Gross Hypocrisy, yet otherwise advertised as the National Day of Prayer. I say the National Day of Gross Hypocrisy because this morning, as I was preparing to head out for my day, I saw that Governor John Hickenlooper is scheduled, in fact, to participate in the National Day of Gross Hypocrisy. This is the day when even the heathens pray and offer lip service to the living God of the universe. And I'm sure this is probably one of the more unpleasant days in heaven to hear the hypocrites calling on the name of the Lord. It's just got to be disgusting. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you think it's good? Is the National Day of Prayer a good thing? Maybe you think I'm a little too extreme. If you think so, give me a call. I'm at 303. What's the phone number? I've forgotten the phone number. It's not 303. It's 800-8-ENYART. It's 800-836-9278. Yes, sometimes I make mistakes on the air. Yes, I've even made some factual errors. I almost gave my cell phone number on the air right there. But if you think I'm being a little too harsh on the hypocrites and the liars and the filthy, unwashed heathens who have legalized theft, adultery, and the murder of innocent people, if you think I'm being a little too critical of them for participating in a National Day of Prayer, please give me a call and let me know where I've gone wrong. I was dressed down the other day. I was collecting signatures outside of a public library. And by the way, for all of you in the audience who are out there working on the Colorado Personhood Initiative petition drive, if you have a petition and you've got an hour or two, I was very pleasantly surprised by the amount of traffic at the library and the number of signatures I acquired. I got a little over 40 in under 2.5 hours, and that's a pretty good day for me. And I had a lot of good conversations, but I had one lady who came out of the library, and she was upset with me because she said I had yelled at her. And I told her, you know, I don't really remember talking to you or what we may have been talking about. And she said, well, you yelled. And I said, well, you probably deserved it. Can you remind me of the conversation? Anyway, she said she was concerned for me as a Christian. So I asked her, are you a Christian? And she wouldn't answer. And I asked her, are you pro-life? She wouldn't answer. I asked her if she would sign the petition and she wouldn't answer. And so anyway, if you're out there, young lady, well, I'm not going to apologize. Like I say, you probably deserved it. Had a couple of post-abortive women who got genuinely irate with me, and I managed to calm myself down, and I told one of them, I said, you know what, I'll pray for you. And she didn't know what to say to that. She was completely nonplussed about where to go with that, and she stormed off to her car. And I did. I prayed for her because I know that there's an awful lot of people who have participated in, well, the greatest crime possibly in all of human history, the legalized slaughter of some 600 million children since the liberalization of abortion laws back in the 60s. And, you know, this morning, after seeing John Hickenlooper preparing for the National Day of Gross Hypocrisy, my wife and I were discussing the news of the day, and she commented, she said, you know, honey, it seems like no matter how hard the world tries to keep the issue of abortion out of the public eye, she said, it seems to be coming up, you know, bigger and more dramatic ways. And she said, I don't know if it's what you guys are doing in personhood. I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit that's actually involved. But she said they can't seem to keep this thing bottled up. And I'm going to get to some stories, one story in particular that I've been following all week. And I wonder if you have been too, because I think it's quite possibly the biggest story of the year, looking back upon the year. But before we get to that, let's talk about the National Day of Gross, Disgusting Hypocrisy with Chris in Denver. Go ahead and speak your mind, Chris.
Hey, I more than speak my mind. I was just looking for a little more elaboration on, you know, what your opinion. Why is it so? I understand your, you know, you said a lot of hypocrites praying, you know, that would never pray other days, but now they're praying. But beyond that, like, why wouldn't we, as real Christians, as real prayer warriors, show ourselves in the congregations of those that may be hypocrites and show that, you know, maybe show them what it really is?
You know, Chris, that's why Bob has become convinced he has the brightest audience in the nation, because a fellow like you calls up and gives me some direction. And you're absolutely right. I certainly wouldn't advocate that you don't go down to the National Day of Prayer and that you don't participate and that you don't witness to the lost, because I think, Chris, it's a great opportunity. And what you just said is absolutely true. If the hypocrites are going to gather and if they are going to pay lip service to God, we're obligated, don't you think, Chris, to go down there as true salt and light in the world and tell them, tell them the truth about what it's all about.
Absolutely. Maybe not call them disgusting hypocrites.
Well, now wait a minute. I think someone needs to inform Governor Hickenlooper that he is a vile, foul, and disgusting hypocrite who puts a foul odor in the nose of God when he offers up a prayer, as he also advocates for the legalized theft of yours, mine, our children, and our grandchildren's wealth. He advocates the murder of innocent people through abortion. He advocates legalized immorality in the avenues of homosexuality and adultery. And yet he is going to stand up and pray. I think we're obligated as Christians to tell him, Hick, you are a hypocrite, and you're on your way straight to hell. You're angering God with your hypocritical prayers and your vile, foul actions and policies.
Now, does he publicly claim to be a Christian, or?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't know either.
I don't know. I don't know that much about Hickenlooper personally, but I do know what he advocates politically and where he stands. And for him to stand up in front of a group of Christians and either participate in or lead a prayer without someone telling him, warning him, that he's in danger of hellfire, I think that we as Christians are dropping the ball. But also, Chris, I want to tell the folks in the audience, if you are out there gathering signatures today at the Capitol, the West Step, Civic Center Park, a great place to go where there are going to be a lot of genuinely Christian and genuinely pro-life people who'd be happy to sign the personhood petition. Chris, I really appreciate you, because I tend to always look for a fight, Chris. It's something in my nature, and I'm working on it, and I'm trying to get better, but a lot of times I need a brother like you to step in and just give me a little guidance. I really do appreciate it, Chris. Your call's been a blessing.
I appreciate you guys. Your show's awesome.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Have a great day out there. And if you come across a hypocrite, let them know they're going to hell. I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I assume they're going to hell, and I tell them about the gospel, and I tell them about Jesus Christ. All right. And I hope all of you will do the same. Now, I want to get to this story. the story regarding, now I've got to get his name right here, and it's a difficult name, so please bear with me. Chen Guangchen. I saw this story on Monday. It was after I was on the air here on Bob and Yart Live on AM 670, the 50,000-watt blowtorch for the gospel here in the Rocky Mountain West. I want to thank the folks over at KLT for all the work they do on behalf of the gospel and for actually allowing me to go out over their airwaves. A pretty bold move on their part, if I do say so myself. On Monday, I saw the story that that this Chinese activist, Chen Guangchen, had showed up at the U.S. Embassy. And I have to admit, I wasn't familiar with Chen Guangchen. But I went and pulled down a story about who this fella is. And the story says he rose to fame in the late 1990s because of his advocacy for what he calls victims of abusive practices, such as forced abortions by Chinese family planning officials. That's how he rose to fame. And the article, this is from CNN, the article says the issue of forced abortions and forced sterilizations in China has now seized the spotlight in recent days because of the escape of Chinese activist Chen Guangchen. And I'm thinking to myself, the issue of forced abortions and forced sterilizations has seized the spotlight? Where? I listen to talk radio all the time, and I watch the news every day. I can't remember anyone, maybe a sideways mention of it here and there, but to say that it's seized the spotlight, well, it certainly hasn't seized the spotlight on conservative talk radio. But the National Day of Prayer has seized the spotlight, and in honor of that, let's go to Betty. Betty in North Glen, speak your mind.
Well, I wanted to say that what God are they praying to?
Hey, Betty, that's a great point. That's a great point. You know, Betty, last week on my show, which is called The Weekly Worldview, you can go to theweeklyworldview.com or you can go to iTunes and search Doug McBurney.
I don't have a computer.
Well, you'll probably live longer for it, Betty. But
well, I'm in my 70s now, so.
Okay, well, I would suggest that you don't start. Just don't do it, Betty. But listen, Betty, Planned Parenthood actually issued a series of prayers for abortion, and I read through the prayers on my show, and I noticed that they never mentioned, I mean, not only did they not mention God or Jesus Christ, but they didn't mention Buddha or Allah or Vishnu or, is there anybody I missed? Anyway, they didn't mention any God, and I think it's because in their own eyes, they've made themselves God.
Yeah.
And they're really praying to themselves because they really consider themselves their own personal Jesus. I think there was a song like that from the 80s. Do you remember that, Betty?
Oh.
No, you don't. And that's good. That speaks to your character that you're not familiar with that song. But yeah,
what's
Betty.
What's the name of it?
It's called Be Your Own Personal Jesus, and it's by...
Oh, well, no, I wouldn't even listen to something like that.
I can't remember. But it's anyway, it's another vile, disgusting product of the pop culture. But but what do you think, what do you think, Betty? Do you think that God is pleased with the National Day of Prayer here in America overall?
Well, you know, it brings His name and Jesus' name in public view right now.
Well, that's true.
And we need to pray for the people that are, like you said, praying not rightly.
You know,
they're not right. So I just upheld Hickenlooper and his family and for their salvations.
All right, Betty, you're a true prayer warrior. Lifting up John Hickenlooper in prayer.
Well,
you know, that's an example of why Christianity is different from any other religion.
Yeah.
Because we really are trying to reach out to people. And there's a genuine concern. I know I come off a little bit rough around the edges sometimes. Because, I'm only in my mid-40s, Betty. But for my whole life, I've witnessed the Christian population being shoved into a closet and cowed and basically living in fear to speak out in public. And I'm really sick of it. I'm really sick of not being able to hold my lamp up high anymore.
Yeah.
And
well,
so,
you know, when I talk to somebody and they ask them if they're saved and they say, I'm a Catholic. And I said, well, you believe in Jesus, don't you?
Yeah.
That kind of
Yeah, and lots of them do. And like you say, Betty, even if they are hypocrites and they're governing officials who are really not sincere about their prayer, the fact that the name of Jesus Christ is mentioned, you know, the Bible tells us that some people preach the gospel for greed and for their own their own personal aggrandizement, but some people get saved. So that's the power.
Well, you never know. You never know what you can say or who you can pray for.
Amen, Betty.
And that's what we're all about.
That's the power of our God and His gospel. Thank you, Betty. God bless you. Appreciate your call. Folks,
well, God bless you, too, and keep up the good fight against abortion.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about that, too, Betty. By the way, folks, if you agree with Betty and if you want to help calm me down a little bit more, the number to call is 800-836-9278. That's 800-836-9278. Let's get back to Chen Guangcheng. So he rose to fame, according to the CNN article, for advocacy for what he calls victims of abusive practices, such as forced abortions by Chinese family planning officials. Now, a fellow activist, according to CNN, now this is Monday, I'm reading this story. A fellow activist said that Chen has taken refuge at the U.S. Embassy in Beijing. And to me, from Monday going forward to today, this should be the story that dominates all of the headlines because this is massive, huge story. Hillary Clinton was about to fly into China for a meeting. I have it here somewhere. A meeting about economics. Everybody wants to talk to the Chinese about economics, probably because we owe them all that money. You know, they're always expected to bring up human rights. So I thought in my mind, I think Chen Guangcheng actually planned his escape at this time because Hillary's flying into the country. And he was going to put a spotlight on the issue, whether the world wanted it or not. Chen Guangcheng decided to grab the attention of the world and force it onto the issue of the murder of innocent people under color of law by not only China, but governments all over the world. By the way, according to this article from CNN, since its implementation in 1979, the one-child policy in China has prevented more than 400 million births in China. That is a stunning number. More innocent people have been butchered since legalized abortion became fashionable in the 60s. I believe more innocent people have been killed than in all of the conflicts, wars, and persecutions in all of human history combined. I believe it's over 660 million people. When you count China and India, and then you throw in the Western democracies who've been butchering children since the 1960s, legally, over 660 million. About 35,000 abortions a day are performed in China. Wow. Now, let's go to Wednesday, because I expected this story to explode all over the place and that it would be the topic on talk radio. That's what I expected, but that's not what I heard. I hear people joking about the president eating a dog. I hear them joking about his new communist slogan, Forward. I hear all this chatter on talk radio, and they're missing the biggest story, perhaps of the decade, ladies and gentlemen. On Wednesday, the report came down from the BBC. Prominent Chinese dissident Chen Guangcheng has left the U.S. Embassy in Beijing. I was stunned that this wasn't breaking news, that basically, the U.S. State Department and America has thrown Chen Guangcheng under the bus on a street in China. But the story, I mean, it didn't break that way. Anyway, the story from the BBC on Wednesday told me, Mr. Chen's lawyer said the activist is happy after receiving clear assurances from Beijing that he would be free to stay in China and continue his studies. However, some friends of Mr. Chen were reluctant to stay in China. And chose, as they say, Chen was reluctant to stay in China. And he chose to do so only after threats to his family. And then the BBC reports, by the way, Hillary Clinton is in Beijing. She got into Beijing yesterday for high-level talks. Mr. Chen's case has threatened to overshadow the talks, which are due to focus on issues like trade. Yeah. Mrs. Clinton on Wednesday said the U.S. would follow Mr. Chen's fate in the long term. And the BBC finally reports, after leaving the U.S. embassy, the Chinese dissident had a telephone call with Mrs. Clinton in which he reportedly said, "I want to kiss you." That's the BBC reported that. Hillary took his call. And he said, "I want to kiss you," probably because he figured that if Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, is taking his call, that America was going to be there for him. America was not going to allow the Chinese authorities, who apparently threatened to physical violence against members of his family. I think maybe Mr. Chen Guangcheng thought that that America would fulfill its historic role with persecuted dissidents, and that we would help him get out of China. Well, Hillary landed, and in fact, she made a speech yesterday, and I've got, let me see here. Let's see. I want to pull out all her quotes regarding the situation of Chen Guangcheng. Let's see, a story here from the Weekly Standard from yesterday. The blind Chinese dissident briefly took refuge in the U.S. embassy, expressed his hope that Hillary would rescue him. He says, "My fervent hope." The Weekly Standard reports that, hold on, let's read Hillary's speech. Let's see, Clinton in China now completely ignored Chen in her remarks, her official remarks as part of the U.S.-China strategic and economic dialogue. She did not mention his name in her public address. She didn't mention his name. I was going to pull all the quotes of Hillary as she documented the 400-year history of liberty and freedom that America stood for, but Hillary never mentioned him at all. She did say that, as President Obama said this week, a China that protects the rights of all its citizens will be a stronger and more prosperous nation, and of course, a stronger partner on behalf of our common goals. So she didn't mention anything about doing the right thing or the wrong thing. She didn't say that a China that protects the rights of all its citizens can rightly be admitted into the family of man as civilized human beings. She said they would be stronger and more prosperous because Hillary doesn't understand. She has no God but herself. She understands riches and she understands power. She doesn't understand mercy, and she doesn't understand justice, and she doesn't understand redemption, Jesus Christ, the living God. She doesn't understand any of that. She thinks that we can communicate with the Chinese based on the principles of economic prosperity and military strength and domination. And that's not where we need to be leading the Chinese, believe me. Because if the Chinese end up any stronger or economically prosperous, they're probably going to land in San Francisco and march east. But back to the story of Chen Guangcheng. Today, this morning, as I opened the newspaper electronically, I read this report from the Daily Beast, not a website that I advocate very often, but there it was. They had an exclusive interview with one of their reporters in China. Blind dissident Chen Guangcheng says he's been abandoned by American officials at the Chinese hospital and is begging to leave the country on Hillary Clinton's plane. He used those words. So the gauntlet has been tossed down, ladies and gentlemen, in front of Hillary Clinton and in front of America. He has asked to leave China on her plane. At the U.S. embassy, Chen said he came under tremendous pressure from American officials, not those at the embassy, but others, to leave the diplomatic facility as quickly as possible. He was basically thrown out of the U.S. embassy. And now he's hoping, after Hillary took his call, that she'll take him and his family, who are no doubt under threat of death. I know that we've all been brainwashed, or at least the progressive ruling class has tried to brainwash us that China is good and they're our friends and democracy and economic prosperity is going to open up China. But it's a brutal, murderous, communist dictatorship is what it is, ladies and gentlemen. And the gauntlet has been tossed down by the brutal dictators of China in what can only be compared to a Broadway drama. That's how stunning these events are. And what will America do? I mean, can you imagine if it was 1983 and Ronald Reagan was in the White House? He would fly Chen Guangcheng out of China on the Secretary of State's plane, and he would have a parade for him when he landed on the West Coast. But what will America do now? Who are we? Are we the formerly great power that's beholden to China for all of our debt? Or will we carry forward our heritage as the nation that defends liberty and freedom and preaches Christianity? Well, we're going to find out, because Hillary's going to fly home anytime now. And we're going to find out if Chen Guangcheng is not on Hillary Rodham Clinton's plane, ladies and gentlemen, you can be sure that this is not the America that your parents grew up in. Things have changed dramatically. All right. So we're watching you, Hillary. God is watching you, Hillary and Barry, and all of you in the progressive ruling class who, by the grace of God, have been handed the mantle of leadership in this country. We're watching to see what you do with it. You are being weighed in the balance today, Mrs. Clinton. And I pray that the Lord does not find you wanting. But we shall see in the next few hours and days. All right. Do you think America's any better? Well, America's obviously better than China, because we still have a remnant here. But earlier this week, the Oklahoma Supreme Court ruled against Personhood USA, against the forces of light, who are trying to get the government to acknowledge that an unborn child is a human person. Keith Mason, a president of Personhood USA, told the Daily Beast, another Daily Beast story, that he's not surprised by a decision by the Oklahoma Supreme Court to block a Personhood initiative that his group's been backing. The court ruled on Monday that a ballot initiative launched by individual citizens could not move forward. In fact, Keith says, Mr. Mason says, he welcomes the Oklahoma Supreme Court decision. He says, I see this as a momentum builder. The Oklahoma Supreme Court said in its ruling on Monday that the citizen-led initiative to put Personhood on the state ballot couldn't move forward because they said it was unconstitutional. Apparently, the Oklahoma Constitution states that it is not acceptable to propose amendments that are, quote, repugnant to the Constitution of the United States. So the Oklahoma Supreme Court stands up in public in front of God and everyone this very week and says the idea that every individual human being is created in the image and the likeness of the living God and is endowed by their Creator with an unalienable right to life, that idea, in the eyes of the Oklahoma Supreme Court, is repugnant to the Constitution of the United States. Well, Keith Mason says this gives us an opportunity to take the argument up to a higher level. He says we've just begun to fight in Oklahoma. And we're still fighting here in Colorado. If you've got your petition, get out there, folks. 1 hour a day, 2 hours a day. Do it sacrificially, 3 or 4 hours a day. There's a lot of work to be done, and there's a whole nation that needs to hear our voice. So stand up, speak for the voiceless, pick up the mantle of your heritage, and as Bob would always do, I will remind you to do right and risk the consequences.
Children are a blessing from God, but when parents reject and ignore His wisdom in teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-NYARC or online at kgovstore.com.